Power Records presents...
Hello and welcome to a special Christmas episode of the Power Records podcast, where the action comes alive. Proud member of the Fire and Water Podcast Network, I'm one of your co-hosts, Rob Kelly.
And I'm Chris Franklin, your other co-host.
Howdy, Chris, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Rob. It's great to be here.
And it's great to be back. We have not done a Power Records podcast since May, when we did the Wonder Woman episode just before the movie, which seems like a lifetime ago.
Oddly enough, my record player broke during the during our break. But Cindy got me a new one for my birthday, so it all works out.
All right, excellent. Yeah, we realized that we haven't done a Power Records podcast in a really long time, and we thought we should do a Christmas one. Now, of course, Michael Bailey and I on episode 2, way back on the show, did the superhero DC superhero Christmas record, and mm-hmm. you and I did the $6 Million Man Christmas record, which featured, among other things, your awesome Lee Majors impression. I love that thing. It sounds so much like George W. Bush. I think it's fantastic. So, and there are some other Christmas records, Peter Pan did a Rudolph record, and they did a Santa record, I believe, but those are not, they're a little far afield from what we want to talk about, but we have one kind of in the middle, which is Scooby-Doo. I never knew that Power Records or Peter Pan did Scooby-Doo records until I started working on the Power Records site and people started sending them to me. They actually did several Scooby-Doo records, and Scooby-Doo had his own Christmas record, which would, I guess, maybe suggest how big of a star he was of how well these records sold. It's called Scooby-Doo's Exciting Christmas Stories, and it's an LP, and it features two adventures, Santa Christmas-related adventures featuring Scooby and the gang. Now, did you have any – I didn't have these as a kid. Obviously, I didn't even know they existed. Did you have these?
I did. I didn't have the Christmas one, okay. But I got – I had the one that's the book and record set with the Headless Horseman.
Okay, right.
I had that, and I had the regular, I don't know, there may be more than one, but the regular Scooby-Doo LP, and I actually got that at Kings Island near Cincinnati, Ohio, which was an amusement park, still an amusement park open today. Back then, they had a Hanna-Barbera land that was full of all the costume characters, Scooby, Yogi Bear, Huckleberry Hound. And so that was like a pilgrimage to go. You'd see all the Hanna-Barbera characters. Everything was themed to Hanna-Barbera. They had a ride that was like a dark ride that at first, when I first started going, had multiple Hanna-Barbera characters, had Scooby and Shaggy, had Yogi Bear, and then as the 80s went on and the Smurfs became popular, it became a Smurf ride. Because they were a Hanna-Barbera cartoon as well. But so I actually picked this up at a gift shop that was not this one, but my Scooby-Doo album that I had from Kings Island, because there was very little Scooby-Doo merchandise out in the 70s and 80s. It's hard to believe now because it's like a cottage industry, but because my daughter and, well, my son and now my daughter especially has tons of Scooby-Doo stuff. Mm-hmm. I actually managed to, you know, find a Scooby and, God help me, Scrappy-Doo action figure in the gift shop there at the same time. So I made out like a bandit that year and when I got that Power Records. So it was awesome.
I never had any idea. And it said the longer I've been doing the Power Records blog, I will discover new records I didn't think they ever did. Somebody sent me a Lone Ranger one a while mm-hmm. back. I was like, I never knew they did the Lone Ranger. There's no like database for these things. So you just keep finding random stuff. And so it said it would indicate that Scooby must have been a pretty big seller for Power Records, because they did a Christmas record. Not everybody got a Christmas record. Spider-Man, yeah. You know, didn't even, they, you know, I mean, like, the Hulk didn't get a Christmas record, and he was on TV, you know, so, yeah, he was kind of a big deal. But before we get to the stories in question, we do want to thank our sponsor, because this is episode is sponsored in part by InStock Trades. InStock Trades is your best online source for trades, hardcovers, and other collected editions, all for up to 45% off with free shipping for orders of $50 or more. Now, I don't think anyone is going to have a hard time guessing what you and I are going to plug from InStock Trades, but why don't you go ahead?
Well, yeah, it's the very obvious choice of Scooby-Doo Team-Up Volume 1. It's written by Sholly Fish with art by Dario Brizuela. I hope I pronounced his name correctly. Scooby and the gang meet some of the DC Universe's greatest heroes in these stories from issues number 1 through 6, including Batman, Robin, Wonder Woman, and the Teen Titans, as they take on the monstrous threat of Man-Bat, explore a Titans Tower mystery, and meet the unpredictable imp known as Scooby Mite. The original retail price was $12.99. In stock trades price is $7.14. I mean, you can't buy two comic books for that. Mm-hmm. You save 45%. My daughter has every issue of these comics. They're fun and fantastic. I love them.
Yeah, you can't beat this. You can't beat Scooby-Doo Team-Up. And in fact, I'm going to plug the same thing, except I'm doing Scooby-Doo Team-Up Volume 3, which is again by Sally Fish, who was a guest on this very show, and drawn by Dario Bruziella. And this reprints Scooby-Doo Team-Ups 13 through 18. From the depths of the ocean to the heart of Africa, Scooby and the gang must investigate the deadliest threats imaginable. That is, with a little help from DC's greatest superheroes. The team is ready to take on some action, and they get a little help from Aquaman, the Woo-hoo. Flash, Shazam, and more. And the cover features Flash stealing the big Hero Decker sandwiches from Shaggy and Scooby. The normal price is $12.99. In stock trades price, $6.49. As you just said, you can't even get two regular comics for that price. That is 50% off. We've sung this book's praises before across other episodes of this network. So it's a great book. Everybody loves it. It's just super fun. It's the Scooby-Doo show you always wanted in the 70s, but you never got. Not that them teaming up with Jerry Reed wasn't great, but...
When you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not.
Exactly. But it would have been really cool if they could have met Aquaman and Shazam and Flash. So these are both great recommendations, Volume 1 and Volume 3. So for these and all your other trade paperback needs, please visit InStockTrades.com. And we thank them for their support. All right, Chris. So we're going to get going on this record. Before we get to talk about the stories in question, we talk about the sleeve. This is not a book and record set. It's just a sleeve. The sleeve that I have, or at least have scans of, is drawn by Dan Spiegel. The great Dan Spiegel, who, of course, drew the Scooby-Doo comic book for Marvel at one point, and whoever had the – I forget who had the license before.
Charlton.
Charlton had it, yeah. He did – I mean, Dan Spiegel, brilliant artist. We just lost him, I think, just last year or a year and a half ago. I did a little tribute episode to him on the show. But it was great how much he could modulate his style, that he could do this perfectly wonderful cartoony style. And the cover looks great. We see – Scooby investigating, and off in the background is the Mystery Incorporated looking on. It's a great cover. There is an alternate sleeve for this record that has Scrappy-Doo on it, but I have my limits. So the one pictured on the Power Records blog spot, which is linked to in the show notes, is the one with just Scooby-Doo, and it says Exciting Christmas Stories over it. So it's a nice little record. I wish there had been a full comic book. It would have been great to see Dan Spiegel draw that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the Scooby comics that Spiegel drew were written by Mark Evanier.
That's right.
And they're a lot of fun. I've got a couple of those. But, yeah, the artwork on the back, the image of Santa Claus looking at his list by candlelight. He looks worried because I won't spoil the story for you. But Scooby's leaning on got his paws up on his shoulder. That's gorgeous.
Yep.
I mean, it's like a Thomas Nast Santa Claus meets Scooby Doo, you know. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's really nice. Spiegel, man, what a great artist. Like, I think I've said this before, like kind of the way you are with Kurt Swan, where you really love Kurt Swan's work, but a lot of people just have a tough time with it. Mm-hmm. I'm that way with Dan Spiegel. There are a lot of people, I think modern, newer comic fans kind of look at Dan Spiegel stuff like it's a little on the dull side, but I love it. I never get tired of it. I think it's beautiful. And yeah, I agree. These sleeves are really very handsome. They're really nice, nice stuff.
When I was a kid, I you know, Nemesis was in every issue of Brave and the Bold in the 80s.
Oh, right, the backup, yeah.
And Dan Spiegel drew it. And at the time, I just, you know, it was like, you know, Ditko and Kirby. I just didn't like that artwork. But, man, I look at it now and I'm thinking, what the heck was wrong with me?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, this is gorgeous stuff. And it's so moody. And it's even though it's stuff, I mean, you can kind of say it's a little, I wouldn't say it's stiff, but it's like, his characters are like, they're like stills of characters in motion, but there's so much kinetic line work and stuff to kind of give it movement. He was really great at that. Even Scooby sniffing these tire tracks on the back of it's an example of that. You know, it's just, It's fantastic stuff.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. There's only two stories on this record. It's an LP. The first one is Trouble at Santa's Workshop. So let's go play that right now. Trouble at Santa's Workshop.
Hey, gang. It sure is cozy sitting by the fireplace.
It sure is. And remember, Christmas is only a few days away.
Look at old Scooby-Doo lying right in front of the fire, sound asleep.
That he is. And look at his ears flopping and his paws are moving. Boy, is he having an exciting dream.
Wonder what he's dreaming about.
Oh, no. Don't worry. It'll be all right, Santa.
But Scooby-Doo, my whole sack of Christmas toys is missing. Oh, what will I do? All of those children will be so disappointed at Christmas time. And not only that, all of my elves in the toy workshop have disappeared, too. Oh, my. Oh, my.
Please, Santa, don't worry. I'll call my friends, Mystery Incorporated, and we'll solve this case for you. Hi, gang. Boy, you sure got up here to the North Pole fast.
Right, Scoob. We took the first jet plane and came straight here. What's up?
Oh, it's terrible. Santa's great big bag of Christmas toys is missing.
That's right, my friends. I was just going to check my sack of toys and get my sleigh loaded when I came in here to the toy workshop, and I discovered that the bag was missing, and all of my elves who work in the toy workshop are gone, too.
Oh, that's terrible.
Okay, everybody. Spread out, let's check out this entire workshop for clues.
I'll take this side over here where all those delicious candy canes are stacked, okay?
I'll help you, Shaggy.
Hey, you guys, this is not the time to think about your stomachs. We've got to help Santa and solve this mystery.
That's right, and we haven't much time. It's almost Christmas Eve.
Oh, my. What will I do? My reputation will be ruined. A Christmas without any toys.
Don't worry, Santa. Mystery Incorporated is on the job, and we'll find your sack of toys and your workshop elves, too. I hope.
Hey! Look over here.
What is it, Scooby? Say, the back window of the workshop is wide open. Quick, everyone. Let's go around the back and look for tracks in the snow.
Brr! It sure is cold up here at the North Pole.
Right. And it's snowing so hard, I can hardly see anything.
Darn it. The snow has already covered practically everything. There's only some faint marks here. And in a couple of minutes, the trail will be completely covered.
Boy, oh boy, Fred, that wind is too much. The trail is impossible to follow.
There's no hope now, my friend.
Don't give up yet, Santa. Let's get back inside and think this over. There. Now this is better. We can think more clearly out of the storm.
We've got to figure out who stole the bag of toys. Once we know that, maybe we can figure out where he went.
Right, Velma, good thinking. Once we figure out who the thief is, we'll have this case licked.
And just how do we do that, Shaggy?
Well, you just make a list. And I don't know.
Some brilliant detective you are.
Well, we gotta start somewhere. How about your elves, Santa? After all, they're missing too.
Oh, no. My elves would never steal the toys they've worked on all year for me to deliver on Christmas Eve. Besides, my sack is so big and heavy, they couldn't even lift it when it is full.
Okay, Santa, then who else is on our suspect list?
Well, let's see. Why, there's no one else, because there's no one else around here for miles and miles.
Gee, that means we haven't even got a clue. We're stumped.
That's impossible. There have to be some clues.
You bet. You bet.
What do you mean, Scooby? Hey, why are you sniffing by that open window?
Look at this.
I don't see anything, Scooby.
I see it, Scoob. There's what this smart old dog has found on the open window ledge.
Why, it's some long white hairs.
A polar bear. Right.
Good work, Scoob. You sure are a smart detective. Wait a minute. If a polar bear was here, he may have carried off the elves or...
eaten them.
Oh, my goodness. I'm afraid that's possible.
I don't think so, Santa. I think that the elves saw the bear stealing your bag, and they went after him.
Oh, that's terrible. Those little elves are no match for such a great big polar bear.
You're right, Velma. That's why we've got to figure out how to find that bear right away.
Wait a minute, Fred. None of us is a match for a polar bear. Let's forget that idea right now. Say, Santa, how about we start writing some wait-till-next-year notes so you can leave something by those Christmas trees?
Shaggy, that is not funny. I'm not afraid. Besides, that bear will run when he sees all of us, won't he, Santa?
Well, that may be so. Wild bears don't like people, and they will run away from them unless...
Unless what, Santa?
Unless they are very hungry. Uh-oh.
Say, speaking of being hungry, I've got some peanut butter and jelly sandwiches in my knapsack here, and when I get nervous, I get hungry. And folks, right now I'm starving.
Forget about your stomach for a while, will you, Shag? Now, how can we figure out just where that bear has gone without a trail to follow?
That's easy. Oops.
Well, what do you mean, Scooby? Come on, let's hear it. Don't hold out on us now. This is important.
Well, if you think like a bear, then you act like a bear, and you'll know where the bear went.
Oh, great. That's impossible to do. A polar bear is an animal.
And so is Scooby-Doo. Maybe this will work. Let's go outside where the trail starts and let Scooby do his stuff.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, everybody, keep quiet and let Scooby concentrate.
Hey, look, Scooby's up on his hind legs and he's pawing the air.
Just like a bear, a big brown bear.
Hey, Scooby's starting to run off on his hind legs in that direction.
Come on, let's stay close behind him.
I hope old Scoob knows what he's doing.
Let's go.
Hey, not so fast, Scooby.
Quiet, Shaggy. Scooby's using his animal instincts. By golly, this may really work.
Just think, Scooby's the only detective in the world with animal instincts.
Save your breath, Daphne. We've got to keep up with him. It's snowing so hard we'll lose him if he gets too far ahead of us.
Be careful, everyone. If we suddenly come up to that bear, he may get frightened and charge at us.
In that case, I'll keep a sharp lookout back in the rear, folks.
I can't keep on running much longer. Where is Scooby taking us?
He's headed for those trees on the side of the hill just ahead of us. Wait. Stop and listen a minute. I think I hear something.
Oh, my goodness. There he is, that big polar bear.
And look, Santa's elves have him surrounded by that tree, and he's getting mad.
Look, there's my sack of toys on the ground next to him.
Scooby, stay here with us. That big old bear doesn't like dogs.
I think you're right.
Watch out! That bear has noticed us! And he's heading straight for us!
Let's run! Fast! Run! Run!
No, no. Everyone stand still. Maybe he won't attack.
Santa, I think we're in big trouble.
Oh, boy. All of me is running, but my legs won't budge. Scooby, get off of me.
Good, Shaggy. Give me your knapsack.
Scooby, what are you doing? Get off of Shaggy.
Leave him alone, Shaggy. Quick, Scooby, here comes that bear.
Why, just look. Scooby's grabbed Shaggy's peanut butter and jelly sandwiches from his knapsack. And he's throwing them to the bear. And the bear... the bear loves them.
And he's going away, licking his paws.
That was very smart thinking, Scooby-Doo.
It was brilliant, Scoob.
Great, Scooby-Doo. You saved us all.
Oh, Scooby, thank you. Thank you.
Some friend. Did you have to give him all of my sandwiches?
Would you rather give him an arm and leg?
When you put it that way, it makes a lot of sense.
Thank heavens. All of my elves are unhurt, and my sack of toys has not even been damaged. Now I can give all of the children of the world a Merry Christmas. And Scooby-Doo, since it was you who found my sack of toys and saved us all from the bear, I'm going to let you ride with me on this Christmas Eve and help me make my deliveries.
Great! Thanks, Santa.
Say, look at that big smile on Scooby's face. Boy, he must be having some wonderful dream.
I'll bet he's dreaming about a great big Christmas dinner.
Well, one thing's for sure. That's what you'd be dreaming about, Shaggy.
The chimney soot is getting into my nose, Santa. Where am I?
What on earth were you dreaming about, Scooby-Doo?
Tell us about your dream, Scoob.
I'll never tell. I'll never tell.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas to all. And a very Merry Christmas to you, Scooby-Doo.
Trouble at Santa's Workshop. My main takeaway from this story, I'm not going to have a lot to say about either one of these stories just because there's just not a whole lot to comment on. They're very much like Scooby Adventures in a lot of ways. Scooby talks a lot in this one. He has a lot of dialogue, I guess, because you don't have any visuals to fall back on, so you have to have it. But it's almost a little upsetting to hear him talk as much as he does in these stories.
Yeah, it's not like just the quick, that's right, Raggy, nothing. I mean, he's like going on for, we got to go help Santa, right? Just for like 15 minutes at a time. But yeah, but you know what? They got the real cast of Scooby-Doo, right? So this isn't like the usual Power Record, the Power Record regulars trying to sound like the characters on TV. This is Don Messick is Scooby-Doo and Casey Kasem is Shaggy and Frank Welker is Freddy. And so, I mean, maybe because they paid those guys who probably asked for more money, maybe they're like, well, you guys are going to talk a lot, So maybe that's what it was. I don't know.
Yeah, we got to get our money's worth. Yeah, this one really feels like an episode of the show. It just has all that same kind of thing to it. As you said, it uses the cartoon voice cast, which is great. The sound effects of the wind blowing, I'm pretty sure that was the same wind that blew on the Conan record. I think it's the same exact thing. And I do love the one moment where Daphne's talking and she's trying to explain something and Fred goes, save your breath, Daphne. I thought, okay, Fred, let's... He's back on the sexism a little bit here. But mansplaining things to Daphne. But no, it's a fun story. I mean, whoever wrote this, maybe it was, I don't think it was Mark Evanier. I should have reached out to him to ask him. But like, it captures the flavor of a Scooby adventure. It pretty much sounds like if you were a Scooby fan and you bought this record, dude, there's no big difference. You're just like, oh yeah, this is what the, without the music things, that famous Scooby theme. Right. Other than that, it's the only thing that it's missing.
The only other thing is if they pulled the mask off the polar bear and it was a guy,
I
would have gotten away with it too if it hadn't been for you kids, meddling kids. I love the sound that the polar bear makes. He sounds like a Scooby-Doo werewolf. Mm-hmm. He's all growly and maybe it's the Wendigo. I don't know. One line that jumped out at me is Daphne's, "Scooby's the only detective with animal instincts." I bet you Detective Chimp and Man Bat are offended by that line. I'm just thinking, yes. And speaking of which, Detective Chimp and Scooby-Doo will meet in the upcoming Scooby-Doo in the Brave and the Bold movie that's coming out like next month.
That thing is designed for the Fire and Water Podcast Network because it has literally a character from like everyone for every one of us involved in that. The only way it could be more is if like somehow it crosses over with Invasion or something. That would be the only other way it could fit everybody else in.
The Dominators are behind everything.
Yeah, exactly. I can't wait for that thing. That thing is going to be a blast to watch. I'm so happy that The Brave and the Bold is coming back in animated form. It's perfect.
Yeah. You know, another thing I liked about this story is, you know, Shaggy provided Chekhov's PB&J. You know, he mentioned he had the peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and it went off by the end of the story, right?
There you go. It's how you got to write these things. It's good story construction.
Yeah, it was. It was, exactly. Yeah, and this is, you know, it's kind of fun that Scooby, in his dream, now, in this story, you can kind of say that in his dream, Scooby thinks he's a much more effective detective. You know, he's more, he takes the lead in the case more and provides, you know, the solutions and things versus what he, you know, him and Shaggy usually stumble into messing up Fred's trap and inadvertently catch the, you know, disguised bad guy at the end of almost every episode of classic Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? But yeah, it's a perfect little, this could be the first half of a 22-minute TV special that was on back in the 70s, and this is just the audio from it.
Yeah, I'm surprised they never did a Scooby-Doo Christmas special or anything like that. I mean, Hanna-Barbera did do those specials. It kind of reminds me when you mentioned the Hanna-Barbera land and there was, like, the ride. Like, did you go down a hallway and it was, like, lamp, chair, plant, lamp, chair, plant. Like, it just kept repeating itself, cycling over and over again. That would have been cool.
They should have had a thing called the Hanna-Barbera Experience, which was just a background, like, on a roller, like two rollers, that you just – and you just jogged in place, and it filmed you with it running like your Fred Flintstone running through his, you know, 40-mile-long house, you know?
Yep, and it made that sound. It made that sound, the tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a- sounds awesome.
Oh, I loved it. We went, it wasn't too far away. It's about maybe not quite 2 hours. We went quite a few times when I was a kid. It was kind of our local Disney World in a lot of ways, you know. It was great.
That sounds utterly delightful. So this is the second and final story for this record is called Mystery of the Missing Santa. So here it is.
Am I glad we've got all of our Christmas shopping done, gang?
Yes, so am I. Now all we have to do is to stop by the Home Sweet Home Orphanage and say hello to Mrs. Brown and the kids.
We're almost there now. Say, they really know how to throw a great Christmas party for the kids. You know, last year they had a Santa, and also they had a great meal that my stomach still remembers.
Shaggy, your stomach sure has a good memory, and a big hungry mouth attached to it.
Every year, that nice Mr. Johnson, who is a retired employee from the department store, goes back to the store and gets a Santa costume and some toys and goes to the orphanage to play Santa for the kids.
Yeah, and the kids love it and look forward to his visit every year. You know, we should see him there because it's almost time for their Christmas party.
Well, gang, here we are.
Hello there, Daphne, Velma, Shaggy, and Fred. Merry Christmas to you all. And a Merry Christmas to you too, Scooby-Doo.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Brown.
Come in, all of you. Oh, I'm glad you're all here. I'm getting worried. Mr. Johnson, our Santa, hasn't arrived yet. He's always on time, and he should have been here by now.
Well, don't worry, Mrs. Brown. Maybe he's still down at Brickman's department store getting his costume and toys.
No, he isn't, Fred. And that's why I'm so worried. I called the night watchman at the store, and he told me that Mr. Johnson had left there over an hour ago. It started to snow, so I sent our handyman, Joe, over to Mr. Johnson's house to drive him here. But he called to say that Mr. Johnson wasn't home.
That's strange. Mr. Johnson lives only a couple of blocks from the store, and he's only 20 minutes away from the orphanage.
I wonder where he lives.
Well, maybe he'll turn up soon. Meanwhile, please, all of you, come in and join the children and sing some carols.
Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, how true you stand unchanging. Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, how true you stand unchanging.
I really am worried. It's 2 hours since Mr. Johnson left the department store. I think I should call the police.
Wait a minute, Mrs. Brown. The gang and I will ride over to the department store and see if we can trace Mr. Johnson down.
Right. Just leave it to Mystery Incorporated. We'll find him.
Oh, thank you all very much. Please hurry. It's almost time for our Santa to appear and give out his presents to the children.
Let's go, gang.
There's the department store. Hey, it's closed.
Right, Shaggy. We'll have to go around back to the loading platform where the night watchman's office is.
Hello. Hello there, Mr. Watchman. Who's there? Who's out there?
Mrs. Brown from the Home Sweet Home Orphanage sent us down to inquire about Mr. Johnson. Would you please open up so we can talk to you?
Okay, just a minute now.
Hi there. We're looking for Mr. Johnson, the man who comes here every Christmas to pick up the toys for the orphan.
Well, I already told the lady from the orphanage that he was here an hour ago. Came in, went to the toy department storeroom and got the toys and left.
Gee, I wonder where he went. Did he say anything to you?
Man never said a word to me. Had on his Santa costume, let him in. A few minutes later, he came out with the sack of toys that the store manager left in the storeroom for him. Does same thing every year.
Ooh, something's wrong. Something's wrong here. I feel it.
What is it, Scoob?
It sure sounds okay to me. That's just what Mr. Johnson would do. What's bugging you, Scooby-Doo?
I got it. It's the costume.
What do you mean, Scoob? Mr. Johnson always dresses up like Santa.
Oh, Scooby's right, the costume. Scooby, what a brilliant detective you are. Don't you guys get it? Mr. Johnson always comes to the store to pick up his toys and his costume. Well, then why would he be wearing a Santa costume when he got here?
Right, Daphne, why?
Now I get it. Maybe the guy who came in here wearing the Santa costume wasn't Mr. Johnson.
And the costume was just a disguise he used to get into the store.
Right, that's what I think.
Mr. Watchman, let's take a look in the toy storeroom and see if Scooby's right.
And maybe we better take a look. Follow me. Here we are.
Look, there's a pile of toys there on the table. But how are we to know if they were just left over? Maybe he just couldn't get all of them into his sack.
How about this guy?
Hey, look, Scooby's found a Santa outfit.
It must be Mr. Johnson's costume. Good work, Scooby.
Now, wait a minute, everybody. Maybe this year Mr. Johnson just rented his costume. Doesn't prove thing.
He's right, gang. Let's not start making a mystery out of this yet.
I smell something wrong here.
Scooby's got a nose for trouble. I think we ought to check further into this. Now, if somebody pretended to be Mr. Johnson to get into the store, what would he be going after?
Hey, my goodness, I better check the jewelry department. Now, you kids wait right here.
Gee whiz, if someone really took Mr. Johnson's place, then what happened to Mr. Johnson?
That's easy, Velma. The crook must have kidnapped Mr. Johnson and taken his place.
Oh, that poor Mr. Johnson. I hope he's all right.
Hold on, let's wait.
We've been robbed! We've been robbed! All of our most expensive jewelry's been stolen! I've got to call the police!
This is terrible!
Yeah, and Johnson is in a lot of trouble unless we can prove someone else did it!
Kids, you'll have to leave right now. This is serious business. I'm calling the police right away.
Okay, okay. Well, let's go, gang. Oh, can we take the Santa outfit and these presents?
Sure, okay.
What are we gonna do now? I know that nice Mr. Johnson has nothing to do with this robbery.
Right, Velma.
We gotta find him. Oh, those poor kids. They need a Santa for Christmas Eve.
Well, we better work fast. Mr. Johnson may need our help.
Let's head back to the orphanage. Maybe he'll turn up there.
Just a minute. Let's look around here in the alley for some clues.
Good idea.
It's been snowing lightly for quite a while. There ought to be some tracks here.
Yeah, a lot of tracks here, and they're all ours.
Shaggy's right. We've walked all around, and we can't tell the difference between our footprints and any of the others that were made before us.
How about this?
What have you got your big nose into now, Scoob?
Oh, my nose isn't so big.
What are you looking at, Scooby? Oh, I see. Say, those are tire tracks. A car has been here.
No.
Scooby's right. Those aren't car tracks. Something bigger.
Right. Like a van or a small truck. But we can't follow them. When they reach the street, they're lost among all of the other traffic marks.
Fred, let's get back to the orphanage right now. At least we've got the Christmas presents and the Santa outfit. Maybe we can entertain the kids and, get something to eat.
Oh, Daddy.
Well, let's go inside and tell Mrs. Brown the bad news.
Well, I'll see you guys later.
Hey, Scoob, come back here. Where are you going?
Looking for clues, like a good detective.
Let him be, Shaggy. We've got to help Mrs. Brown with those kids.
Oh, you're back. Any luck? Mr. Johnson isn't here, and he hasn't even called.
Well, no, Mrs. Brown. Frankly, we're worried about him, too.
Oh, my. What shall we do?
Mrs. Brown, you say that your handyman went to pick up Mr. Johnson, but he wasn't home?
That's right. I sent our man, Joe, over in the little bus to bring him here. Joe waited a while for Mr. Johnson because he knew that he had to go to the department store to get his costume and the sack of toys. But Mr. Johnson never showed up.
Very interesting. Joe knew about Mr. Johnson and the department store.
Velma, you're not thinking that the handyman...
Mrs. Brown, where's Joe now?
Why, he left a while ago to go home.
Hey, come here, everybody. I found something.
What is it, Scooby? What's going on out here?
Check this.
Why, look! Scooby's found those same car tracks that we saw in the alley at the department store.
And there's what made those tracks.
Why, it's the orphanage bus. Let's take a closer look.
Shh. Listen.
What is it, Scooby-Doo? You have better ears than any of us.
It's a noise inside there by the rear door.
Let's open it and take a look. It's locked.
Oh, just a moment. I have the key right here.
Thanks. Now let's have a look.
Look! It's Mr. Johnson!
Yeah, and he's tied and gagged.
Oh, quick, quick, help him. Help him, the poor man.
Fred, take off his gag and untie him.
Oh, that's better. Mrs. Brown, I don't understand any of this.
For heaven's sake, what happened? Who did this to you?
It was Joe, your handyman. He was parked by the department store. I was just about to reach the store when he called me over to the bus. And that's all I remember, except I woke up on the floor in the bus, all tied and gagged.
Mr. Johnson, Joe must have disguised himself as you in a Santa outfit so the watchman could let him into the store, and then...
Then the dirty rat robbed the jewelry department.
Oh, my, that's terrible.
Don't worry, he won't get away with it, Mrs. Brown. You'd better call the police right now.
I will. Oh, this is just awful.
What about those poor kids? Now I don't have any presents for them, and I don't have my Santa costume.
Oh, don't worry, Mr. Johnson. We were at the store, and we picked up all the toys and your costume.
Huh?
But are you able to play Santa after your terrible ordeal?
Oh, I'm okay now. And besides, playing Santa for those orphans is the best medicine in the world for me.
Can I play Santa's helper?
You certainly can, Scooby-Doo. Why, if it hadn't been for you, I might have frozen to death all tied up in the bus like that. Let's all go inside and have a Merry Christmas with the kid.
Merry Christmas.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Good tidings to you and all of your kin. Good tidings for Christmas and a Happy New Year. Oh, bring us a figgy pudding. Oh, bring us a figgy pudding. Oh, bring us a figgy pudding and bring it out here. Good tidings to you and all of your kin. Good tidings for Christmas and a Happy New Year.
And that was Mystery of the Missing Santa. What did you think of this one, Chris?
Well, when I first heard the title, I figured that Santa was murdered by the key, but I think I got my Christmas stories mixed up. It's that old Justice League story. Just won't get out of my head. It traumatized me, but no. No, this one's got a little bit more of that, you know, people were always getting knocked out and tied up in Scooby-Doo stories, and they find them in a closet. And so this guy kind of does have, even though we don't have him unmasked on the actual adventure, we know the police are going to find him. He was disguised as Mr. Johnson, dressed as Santa Claus. So technically this kind of fits in more with the Scooby-Doo theme that, you know, that almost every episode of Scooby-Doo has. So, but yeah, it's a lot of fun. The only thing is that Power Records is really relying on their stock of Peter Pan Christmas albums that they got in this one quite a bit. Mm-hmm.
I love how obsessed Shaggy is with wanting to eat, like, the kids' food. Like, he was talking about, it's like, good Lord, Shaggy, come on. Like, you know, those kids
have you no shame.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man, you know. But, it's good. It's like the other story. Again, we don't have a lot to say about these in particular. It's just they're very well done adventures featuring the Scooby Gang. And you're right. I mean, they had a lot of the stock sound effects and the stock sort of, you know, all the little beats in here like that. But yeah, they're cute. They're really cute adventures.
I did like that you could tell that Casey Kasem was the night watchman, except he sounded like he was doing the Pepperidge Farm spokesperson, you know. Someone robbed our jewelry department, yeah.
Oh, man. Scooby was, like I said, he must have been a pretty big deal. So far, I've been able to track down the fact that there was, of course, as we're just talking about now, the Scooby Christmas album. There was a Scooby LP book and record set. There was a Scooby 45, which was the Headless Horseman. And there was a Scooby-Doo picture disc, which had, you know, literally Scooby printed on the record. Now, as far as I've been able to find, they didn't even do picture discs for, like, Superman and Spider-Man. Wow. Now they might be out there for all I know, because I keep finding, just when I think I'm done finding Power Records, I find new ones. But as far as I've seen, like, Scooby got a picture disc, and that's not something even any of the other heroes got. So Scooby was making some good bang for Power Records.
Yeah, it really did. Like I mentioned, it puzzled me as a kid. Scooby-Doo was, like, continuously on, I think, on network TV from, like, 1969 until, what, like, 1986. Mm-hmm. And there was never any official action figures. I mean, there were little toys here and there, like, you know, parachute figures and weird things like that. But as far as there being a dedicated action figure, like Mego, never made a Scooby-Doo line. Now you got Figures Toy Company making a Mego-type Scooby line, which is great. But so, you know, kids were starved for Scooby-Doo because Hanna-Barbera just wasn't taking advantage of it for whatever reason. They weren't merchandising it like they do, like Warner Brothers, which owns all those characters now, does nowadays. Like, you know, like I said, my daughter's room's full of Scooby-Doo stuff. I even painted her room in Scooby-Doo colors.
That's great.
And painted the silhouette of the gang running in their, you know, typical running style across her wall. So.
Oh, that's great. Oh, I love that. Yeah, you're right. They could have done a hell of a toy line with all the various monsters, like the guy in, like, the diver suit and the robot and the wolf. I mean, this could have been really pretty styling.
Yeah, they've been sharp. Like, their masks, removable masks, and they've been really cool, yeah.
And then you would have lost the mask and would have made the figure much more valuable because you wouldn't be able to find it again, so.
Right, I need the hypnotic clown. I need his mask. Yeah, you know? Yeah.
It would have been like those Supergirl slippers. You could never find them again. They're gone.
Captain Cutler's helmet's gone. What am I gonna do?
Yeah, it would have been cool. So yeah, this is a good record. This is a fun record. You know, it's. I love that I never knew this stuff existed. And I love finding new stuff like this.
I follow your blog and I saw this pop up. I'm like, what? Wait, you know, what? Where'd that come from? You know, it's fascinating what's out there. And I think where Power Records were in so many different, you know, they were, I guess, at record stores. They were in, like I bought my one Batman LP with Robin Meets Man Bat. I bought it at a grocery store in a, you know, a little display they had, you know. I mean, they were in such odd places and, you know, they were everywhere back then. So it's kind of hard to tell what was out, and you kind of wonder if some stuff wasn't maybe even kind of semi-regional, you know, so it's amazing to think what could still be out there that we haven't come across yet. They'll keep us going in podcasts for years.
Yeah, I hold that hope that there'll be some, you know, DC or Marvel hero one I never knew they did. It was like that one-off Captain Marvel, you know, like they'll be like, did you know there was a Hawkman Power Record? Like, what? You know, like something like that. Like, really cool. So, and we're going to actually kind of get to that in a moment. Before that, let's do a listener feedback. This is a feedback we got from our previous episode, which was 7 months ago, the Wonder Woman episode. So the first comment is from, and these are all comments off the website, which is fireandwaterpodcast.com. And the first comment is from David H. Gutierrez. He says, great Hera, did I love this episode. And yes, hubba hubba, that artwork is stunning. Chris mentioned Continuity Studios licensing some DC books. Yes, to the art part of it, but a resounding no to them handling the scripting duties. Have you not read Redeemers or Megalith or Crazy Man? Great job, fellas. Who knew Paradise Island had Southern Bells?
You didn't see that in the Wonder Woman movie? I saw a Scarlett O'Hara type on Paradise Island. After Batman Odyssey, maybe we shouldn't farm out the story writing to Continuity Studios.
Perhaps. But okay.
We got a message from Ryan Daly who said, gotta say, the first story, The Secret of the Magic Tiara, threaded the needle extremely closely to being irredeemable and not in the good shag sort of way. When Wonder Woman told Sandra she was in love with Mitch, I audibly groaned. I hoped the end of the story would reveal this to be a lie, but being from the 70s, I had no confidence that that would be the case. Luckily, the story worked itself out and stayed just on this side of the line to be a lot of fun. Well, yeah, I'm glad. Me too. Yeah, it did. It's things like that do make you pause, especially back then.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Next up, we got a message from Chuck Coletta. He says, "You guys mentioned the other Wonder Woman movie due out later this year. It is to be called Professor Marston and the Wonder Woman, and will star Luke Evans as Marston." Now, of course, since then, that movie has come and gone. I have not seen it yet. I've heard mixed things about it. Mm-hmm. I know it's specifically for adults. It's not, you know, for children at all. And I know that they don't have the rights to a lot of stuff. So, like, they had to kind of hide the Wonder Woman connection in some ways. Like, the poster couldn't show Wonder Woman. But I heard some good things. I heard some bad things. So it's something that I kind of want to check out. But it's part of the vast list of movies that I need to see at some point. I don't know when I'll get to it, but it's an interesting curio, and it's good timing. They got it out the same year because, I mean, you know, the year of Wonder Woman.
Right. I mean, you know, there were three different movies that featured Wonder Woman in some aspect this year.
Yeah. Big year for Diana. Big, big year.
Yes.
We got a comment from Diablo Frank. He says, "Did Luke Evans also just say lasso of truth? Is this another instance of British doing English wrong?" And then Santaran, I keep pronouncing that wrong, comes back and he says, "Maybe Wonder Woman is secretly British." And he provides a dictionary.cambridge.org link where you can hear different pronunciations. And in fact, when the British pronunciation of lasso is lasso. So when you and I were talking about, like, why did they say it like that? Maybe they were doing it in the British style.
Wow. Yeah, I was totally flummoxed by that. I was like, okay, when did lasso become lasso? We couldn't get over that. Yeah. Well, there you go.
Strange.
We got a missive from Dr. Ange, who said, "Like others, I was a bit dismayed as the tiara story unfolded. First, when she talked about the tiara controlling her and her blankly saying, 'Master,' I said, 'What?' Then when she said she was doing it because she liked the guy, I said, 'What?' As for War God, I also was a bit surprised to hear Hitler, but I laughed at the Woodstock rebuttal. I would have loved it if Diana said, 'Listen to the loving words of Woodstock,' and then that famous burnout comes in and says, 'Don't use the brown acid. It's a bad batch.'"
Related to that, Mark Baker Wright comes in and he says, "Regarding the reference to Woodstock, while I certainly grant that the writers in the 70s likely had a different perspective on Woodstock than we might today, I think it's important to keep in mind that the reference was not so much in good versus evil context as it was a peace versus war context. While I'm hesitant to think of certain aspects of Woodstock culture as good, I could say without hesitation they were attempting to promote peace." That's fair. I think I was probably misjudging it a little. It wasn't so much good and evil as it was peace versus war. I would still suggest that there may be other examples of peace that you could have suggested, but you do have to remember this was made in the late 70s. Woodstock was only 7 or 8 years old by this point, and probably maybe even some of the people that worked on these records went to it, or it was certainly a big cultural event of the people that worked on these records. So it makes sense in that context.
Well, Power Records was in the New York area, so, you know, there you go.
That's right.
Yep. Gene Hendricks writes in, and he was apparently taken aback by how much Wonder Woman called on Hera in this record. "Great episode, guys. Unfortunately, the lasting thought from it is this: Wonder Woman, Hera, help me. Hera responds, 'Oh, for f- sake, what part of strong, independent woman don't you understand?'"
Wow. Gene Hendricks bringing the potty mouth.
Jeez, man, I feel dirty just having to read that.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know what got into Gene. I just understand. That would have been great to hear that on the record. That would have been, once you've done a Suicide Clown, why not slip in the F word if you can?
Exactly.
Cool. So Frank came back in and he says, "I never had a Wonder Woman Power record, sadly. I vaguely remember seeing some of the Peter Pan cassettes, not specifically Wonder Woman, but always passing them because they gypped you out of the comic book. Those die-cut numbers sound familiar too. The Secret of the Magic Tiara was painful, but not completely alien from the types of stories Bob Kaniger was telling late in his run. Wonder Woman versus the War God was more fun, and I'm happy we finally get a legit member of the Rogues Gallery. I'm surprised how close this battle with Mars was to the Ares showdown from the movie." Whoa, sampling audio. "I enjoy the Amazon from space the most, as is best called Charles Moulton, though it read even more like what Greg Potter would have done had he stuck around longer. All the art here was lovely. Having read more continuity comics than the average DC fan, though, I'm glad we didn't get any Peter Stone writing credits on our books. Thanks. Was he even a real guy?
I don't know.
Me neither.
I remember those continuity books that just, like, they just always seemed to, like, appear on the newsstands, like, in the late 80s. They were constantly, you know, Megalith and She-Bat and all that type
of stuff.
Skate Man and, yeah, all that type of stuff, yeah. Ward Hill Terry writes in to say, this was a hoot to hear. I'll bet anything there were only two actors hired for the whole record. They did a good job creating different voices for the many characters. Well, see, the budget was blown by the Scooby-Doo album, so that's what. Speaking of great Rich Buckler drawings of Wonder Woman, I give you Exhibit A, the cover of Wonder Woman number 249, with Hot Girl as a bonus. Yeah, that is a great cover. Mm-hmm. I seemed like that was like turned into one of those posters that was in the post serials back in the day, if I remember
really?
Right.
Oh, wow.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that is a very nice cover. I mean, Rick Buckler, rest in peace, great artist and a particularly great cover artist. Really dynamic stuff. Good.
Oh, yeah.
Great guy. And I was very fortunate I got a chance to meet him. Terrific guy. We got a comment from Lindsay Werner who says, not my favorite because Wonder Woman seemed fairly dependent on others in the War God episode. Also, they called him Mars instead of Ares. That's Roman, not Greek, but she used the name Hera, which is Greek. The Magic Tiara episode was just strange. I could probably write a paper on where it went wrong. And I got mad during the Amazon from Space because it seemed wrong on a social level. I don't think they achieved what they were going for. I liked their Christmas special better. I'm not sure why, but it reminded me of Pendant Productions' audio show Wonder Woman, Champion of Themyscira, despite having pretty different stories. It's been a while since I listened to it. I can't really compare them well. And Lindsay provides the link to this Wonder Woman audio production. I never heard this. I'm completely unfamiliar with this at all. And then Lindsay adds, oh, and I like the movie. Thank goodness.
Yeah, I think we all
everybody breathes a sigh of relief. Yeah, exactly. Everybody's like, please be good. Yeah. So, did you listen to that audio adventure? I'm completely unfamiliar with that.
I had never heard of it before, yeah, so I'm going to have to give it a listen. It sounds interesting. I know there's a whole ton of audio, like Graphic Audio does all those that Michael Bailey's always he's talking about. And I mean to check them out sometime because I know if he's speaking up for them, they got to be good. So this is probably in the same vein. And I'm interested in listening to all of them. I'll just throw it in amongst my podcast at work. That's what I need to do.
There you go. Exactly. And maybe that's not blocked at work the way the fire record.
Yeah, our own network.
Fire and Water podcast is blocked. Yeah.
I don't understand that. I'm like, man, I have to bring in our shows on a thumb drive. How sad is that? But anyway.
I'm guessing Gene Hendrix's potty mouth is not going to help getting the
It's explicit content now. Exactly. Thanks, Gene.
Yeah. Bruce Wayne Weaver says, loving this podcast. I had many of the Power Records as a kid, and these really flood the memories back. Why is this not a weekly podcast? Can't wait for the next episode. Sorry, Bruce, you really did have to wait for the next episode. And yes, that's my real name, so Batman stories were my favorite. How perfect is that? Bruce Wayne Weaver is reading Batman comics. That's wonderful.
That is awesome. That's awesome. I wish my name was Bruce Wayne. Yeah. Why is it not weekly? I mean, have you seen Rob's output? Yeah, I mean, come on.
You only do so many. We should do more of these because these are fun to do and there's a lot of Power Records to do. We should maybe do more than two a year or something. But I don't know. We just kind of get it. They get away from us. You know, we move on to other things. You do a bunch of shows. I do a bunch of shows. We do a bunch of shows together. And then before we realize it, I had no idea when I was looking it up that we hadn't done one since Wonder Woman. I was like, oh my God, that's really a long time. So we should, you know, maybe make an effort to like do one in another like 3 months or something, not six or seven.
New Year's resolution. There you go.
Perfect.
Jerry Hammond says, as with the other Fire and Water podcast, I love this one. This is the second podcast that I have listened to on the Power Records, and they are great. They take me back to when I was much younger listening to these in my bedroom at my parents' house. I have a problem now that I love listening to more and more of the Fire and Water podcast, and I'm not going to be able to keep up, just as we were saying. Just keep up the good work. Thanks for the memories. Well, thanks, Jerry, and thanks for writing in. We really appreciate it.
Yes, absolutely. And we're loving that we're flooding you with content, that you have more that you could possibly listen to in a day. That's what we're trying to do here at the Fire and Water Podcast Network. So, well, thanks, everybody, for the feedback. It's great. I'm sorry that you had to wait so long to hear it. As Chris and I just said, we will endeavor to do another episode sooner rather than later. And when we read the feedback, it won't be so long. And before we sign off here, I did want to mention one other thing. Last week, I ran a poll on the Fire and Water Twitter feed, which is at FW Podcast, and I asked two questions. which DC character should have gotten a power record but never did? And then I also asked what Marvel character should have gotten a power record that never did. Now, these Twitter polls only allow four choices, and I didn't want to do write-ins because I wanted to try and get some consensus. So the rules that I went by were what characters had their own strips when Power Records were making records. So I had to go and look and see, okay, well, what Marvel characters had their own titles in the mid-70s, and same thing for DC. Then, so that's why the choices are as follows. For DC, I had Green Lantern, Commandy, Supergirl, or Swamp Thing. And for Marvel, I had Daredevil, Doctor Strange, Iron Man, and Thor. So that's why, like, for the DC one, there's no Hawkman. I would have loved for them to have done a Hawkman power record. But Hawkman didn't have his own strip in the mid-70s. Right. So, you know, it was unlikely that Power Records would have ever done one. So the winner, by a fairly substantial margin, was Supergirl. I'm sure Ange probably flooded the inbox. she ended up with 35% of the vote. Green Lantern came in second with 26. Commandy just behind him at 13. And kind of further in the back was Swamp Thing with 16%. Of these four, Chris, which one did you vote in these polls, or were they up before you had a chance to vote on
them? I think they were up and gone by the time I saw them. I'm sorry, you know me. You've told me to avoid Twitter as much as possible.
You do stay off Twitter, which I think is probably advisable for your mental health. So, which one of these would have you picked if you could have if you picked any of these four characters?
You know, probably would have picked Green Lantern, because, you know, in hindsight now, we did get the Man Thing. I know Man Thing and Swamp Thing are fundamentally kind of different, but in the same, you know, obviously in the same vein. Although I think Commandy has such tremendous potential to be an animated series of some kind, a toy line. So maybe Commandy, you know, I mean, Commandy could have been made by Mego. They could have reused some of the Planet of the Apes stuff.
Exactly, right. And Power Records could have done that too. They could have reused, you know, probably a lot of the sound effects from their Planet of the Apes records to make a Commandy record. So, yeah, that would have been a lot of fun.
Who wouldn't have won a Dr. Canis action figure, you know, Amigo action figure with a dog head? How cool would that have been?
That would have been fantastic. You know? The Great Disaster. That would have been so cool. I think probably I would have liked to have had a Swamp Thing just because I would have liked to have seen them adapt a Ween writes in story like they did for Man Thing. But I agree that, they already did a Man Thing, so it would have been kind of close. But a Commandy would have been amazing. But Supergirl, you know, that would have been cool too.
Yeah.
Absolutely, you know, they did Wonder Woman. She's the only female character that got her own record. Supergirl would have been interesting too. So, yes, she was the winner of the four choices.
And Supergirl does have a successful TV show on right now. So we can't really blame all that on Anne. She's obviously pretty popular right now. So,
movie star. She got a movie 30 years before Wonder Woman ever did.
She did.
And then for Marvel, like I said, the four contestants were Daredevil, Doctor Strange, Iron Man, and Thor. This one was really a two-man race between Daredevil and Doctor Strange. Daredevil won with 34% of the vote. Right behind him is Doctor Strange. And then in the distant back, Thor with 18% and Iron Man at 16%. Nathaniel Wayne from our network mentioned that Daredevil is the obvious choice because obviously with him being blind, having an audio adventure would have been particularly suited to this character. And I have to agree with him. I think a Daredevil record would have been really cool. Although Doctor Strange, they really got to dug deep into the weirdness of Doctor Strange.
Oh, yeah. See, I would have went more with the Doctor Strange just because – with Daredevil, you would have got like the similar sound effects and stuff you get from a Batman story because Power Records Batman were pretty much the Bronze Age Batman, so it was a little grittier, a little more street and urban than, you know, like a Adam Westy type Batman. Most of them were, not all. But the Doctor Strange could have went crazy trippy with, you know, reverberations and echoes and crazy sound effects and, you know, blasts of energy. And it would have been probably like a smorgasbord for your ears. So that's probably why I'd go with Strange.
Yeah, that would have been cool. That would have been really cool. So any of these would have been good. But yeah, Daredevil one would have been really cool.
It'd been fun too, yeah. And Daredevil's got a successful TV show too, so
there you go. Well, virtually everybody here is kind of successful in their own way. I mean, Iron Man's a movie star, Thor's a movie star.
Yeah.
They're all movie stars, you know, movie or TV stars. So they all going to be really cool. So, well, thanks everybody for voting. This was a lot of fun. Maybe I'll do a second poll where we'll maybe do like another set of four characters each or something. It was funny when I was going through the DC books and looking to which ones to pick. Like, DC had so many more genre comics than I remember. Like, they didn't really have that many superhero titles in the 70s. Outside of the big five, and then you had Aquaman and like in Adventure Comics, it was really like Tarzan and The Unknown Soldier and Jonah Hex. Like, they really didn't have a lot of other superhero books. So that was a little harder to pick from. Marvel had more superheroes to go on. But it's like, you know, like, well, geez, House of Mystery? Would they have done a House of Mystery? That would have been cool, too. But I probably wouldn't have done that. But anyway, thanks, everybody, for voting. That was a lot of fun to have that up on the Twitter feed. So I guess that is going to do it for this episode of the Power Records podcast. We want to say Merry Christmas to everybody. Hope you enjoyed these stories. They're a lot of fun to listen to. Everybody loves Scooby-Doo. And as Chris talks about, his daughter really loves Scooby-Doo. So, Chris, where can people find you on our website?
Well, as I said on another show that we did together that was Christmas related, on every single Christmas episode on the Fire and Water Podcast Network, I think. I really love Christmas. I'm on a Superman Movie Minute with you, Rob. I'm on Supermates with my wife, Cindy. I'm on Batman Nightcast with Ryan Daly. I do Wonderful Toys from time to time on FW Presents, and I probably forgot something else, but I think I covered everything, so there we go.
That'll do it. And as for me, like I said, I host, I co-host Fire and Water Podcast, of course, with Chag, and I host Film and Water Podcast, Treasure Cast, Pod Dylan, and we do the occasional Digest Cast, and I do a bunch of shows with Chris as well, Superman Movie Minute, and of course we do this show. So, and all that can be found over at fireandwaterpodcast.com. Now, Power Records does not have its own Twitter feed. We haven't done that yet, but you can leave comments for the show either on the website or on our Twitter feed, which is for the network Twitter feed, which is at FW Podcast. So, again, thanks everybody for listening. We hope you have a wonderful holiday season, a Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year, and I guess we'll see you all in 2018. So, Chris, thank you once again, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Bob. Merry Christmas.
Come, Robin. Into the Batmobile and home.
A clever scheme, all right. And they'd have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you.
Actually, if it wasn't for Jerry. He was going to open the music hall a week before the Phantom expected him.
Imagine, they spent almost a year digging that tunnel under the bank.
Yeah, and unlucky for them, Shaggy, you happen to be a devotee of the xylophone.
Would you like to hear me play something, Sergeant?
I would, Shaggy, but I've got to get the prisoners down to the jailhouse and return the money to the bank.
All right, gang, I got my guitar back. So, lean back and listen to me rehearse.
I think we'll have to beg off, Jer. If I don't get something to eat, I'll just pass out.
Yeah, pass out.
Okay, gang, y'all go get something to eat. But don't forget, now, tomorrow at the show, you're going to be my guest. I'm going to have you the best seats in the house, right up front. That's the least I could do.
Sunlight, she's all right with me. Pretty Mary Sunlight, she's everything I need. Pretty Mary Sunlight, she turns each night to day. Pretty Mary Sunlight, never go away.
When you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not.
When you're hot, you're hot.